And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to a very empty San Diego Landings because everybody's out fishing in Point Loma. Dwayne Diego, Captain Dwayne from Pinnacle Sport Fishing is here and having a great time learning a lot of great stuff from this super knowledgeable expert fisherman.
Yeah, having a great time talking fishing and talking fun. And we want to talk to you. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup in the second hour, give us a call. Again, it's 213-432-1090. All the phone lines are jam-packed right now, but there's going to be plenty of time for you to get through in the second hour. 213-432-1090. Or stand by and send us a text, man. Lots of great texts and another full hour for you to get through. Texting, again, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download anywhere, any phone platform. Just search Let's Talk Hookup. Free download. You'll be stoked you did.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, phones are packed. They want to talk to Dwayne. Let's do it.
How about this time we talk to Todd, who's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. What's up, Todd? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Great show. I have a question for Dwayne. I got two questions. One is when foamer fishing, you know, if you have, I was out this weekend, the last couple of days, about the 277, and there were these wolf packs of kind of tuna that would boil up, and as I would drive up to them, they'd sink out. And I guess my question is, does Dwayne recommend that you approach slowly as can be, or kind of, you know, get up there kind of quick and try to cast a popper on them? And then my second question is, does Dwayne suggest, you know, if you're marking bait and you're seeing birds and the conditions look right, but you don't see any fish, does he suggest in that situation that you maybe you just fly line a sardine and let that swim a little bit and hope that maybe a tuna shows up where that bait is and you get a bite? A
couple of great questions.
Yeah, so as far as like the setup goes, I always like to try to approach as stealthy and as mellow as possible if the, you know, the situation allows me to do so. Say there's not a lot of boats running them down and you're not racing other boats. What you want to do is set up slow your boat down about 100 yards upwind or upswell of them and slowly motor in from there. Or if they're feeding into the wind or into the current pretty hard, you can stop right there and let them walk to you, which is even more stealthy. Again, that's a per-situation thing, as long as there's not a lot of guys running it down or racing you to them. And that usually works really well for us. As far as, like, the signal goes, if you pull into an area and you know, that's a known area of fish, you know, it bit there the day before that, you're seeing all the sign, you want to see bait, birds, whatnot, you're not seeing any fish. Typically what I'll do is I'll just monitor the situation closely for a tide. A lot of times this stuff's going to float and show itself and feed on the tide. If it doesn't do that, then you just got to put on your hunting boots and go looking along that break or wherever you're fishing and try to find where the fish are showing. But typically, you know, I'll wait it out and rather than even fly lining, because a lot of times fly line sardine and miles of anchovy is going to be really obsolete. You're really not going to get any attention there. Best to just focus your efforts on paying close attention to the scenario, again, the water, the bait, the fish, the birds, and hopefully they show for you.
And then you mentioned the tide. So on the slack tide, an hour before, an hour after, half an hour before, half an hour after?
It varies. A lot of times, yeah, it's going to center itself on the top of that tide. Sometimes it's going to happen an hour, hour and a half before. Sometimes it'll start then, go through the tide, and go an hour and a half after. Sometimes it's going to do it just on the tide. You know, every scenario is a little bit different and just got to put in the time. So if you've got a fishing day planned and you're able to get there a couple hours before the tide to your preferred zone, then I would do so. That way you're ready and waiting. You don't want to show up when the party's already going.
Yeah.
So plan a trip around the tide.
So there's been a lot of tuna on the dolphin schools.
Yeah.
And so what's your approach when you see a dolphin school? How are you going to fish that dolphin school?
I think you get ahead of it. So as you're approaching it, already start veering to the head of it or whatever, which way it's got its beak pointed. and get out your trolling lures. Personally, I just like to pull a couple lures behind it, behind the boat there, and, you know, just stay ahead of the potted dolphin to the sides of the head of it, and hopefully you get a jig strike, stop your boat, throw bait, and hopefully you get a bait stop out of it as well.
Yeah. Kind of hard with a smaller boat to pull that tuna off unless you throw a lot of bait, right?
You know, rule of thumb for us is just a couple dippers and then fast ones, and if it wants to react, it's going to react and bite, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. You also, in small boats, a thing I've always taught my guys is bait management and knowing how many times you have to stop and throw bait before it becomes, you know, you're wasting bait and, you know, taking yourself out of a future situation as far as having enough bait to make it happen. So
sure,
you got to have that mindset as well fishing a small boat.
Do you bring sardines on every trip?
Like every trip for the most, unless we're going out to like the Tanner or like, you know, making those 90-100 mile runs where we're fishing big fish strictly anyway, we won't take bait on that. But I like to, especially if we're fishing inside the island, even big fish, I'll take bait and we'll light up a big ass breezer. No, even though they won't really eat the sardine on the line you want, size line you wanted to eat it on, they'd eat on 25 and you get destroyed. At least you're lighting up the school and getting them in a feeding mode. You get them all you know, fluffed up and out of their, you know, big tight ball of schooling traveling fish, and you get them like, you know, fluffed up again, and you get them active. We've been lighting up schools and then shotgun launching flyers right through the chum line and getting absolutely destroyed.
Nice.
So it's another tool, or, you know, something to have in your back pocket to help, you know, up your bite ratio.
That is a really good
stuff.
Yeah,
that's real good tip. You have a good text.
I thought so, yeah. It was an interesting one for Dwayne. It says, good morning, everybody. My question is for Captain Dwayne. Dwayne, if you could start your business over again from scratch, would you still continue to run the Parker? I love those boats, but curious now that you've done it. Also, what model configuration would you buy for a year-round boat that also needs the double for my family as a cruiser in the San Diego area? That's from Ralph and Menifee.
I wouldn't change anything we did. Those boats have been really good to us. I love them still. The guys that work for me love them. You kind of, it's every boat's a give to get scenario. You know, you get a fast center console, you're going to get a little more comfort and a little more speed, but you're going to lose being warm or being able to talk. Or, you know, some guys I have, they want to be inside the cabin. They don't want to talk over a motor. They enjoy having a microwave, stuff like that. So we're stoked with what we have. Looking forward, there might be additions to the fleet that make things more fast, more comfortable. As far as buying a boat to kind of touch on both sides of the scenario, whether it's fishing and family time, you know, I'd look at a bigger cabin cruiser type boat. You know, big Grady.
Like a 36 Parker.
Yeah.
Or a 36 Pacifica.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, my boat's for sale.
Yeah, I would kind of lean towards something like that, or like a Cabo, or, you know, it just depends how much size you want. But definitely, you know, if you've got the fam involved and the fam isn't so hardcore, you definitely want a little place for them to lie their heads or have their creature comforts, because that plays a big role in the wife and the kids, and they're stoked on being on the water. You don't want to slap them into a 36 Yellowfin and do 40 knots.
Like, hey, how's your day? The kids are just like, oh, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Wife lost her son hat. You know,
it's a kindler, gentler ride. On a big boat.
On the real, though, for Ralph, your boat literally is perfect.
I mean,
that's what it is.
It is.
It's 36.
Yeah.
It still goes fast. It's still got a place that you can legitimately, like, boat camp at Catalina with the fam for the weekend. Yep. Like, yeah, that's...
There is, and people may dispute that, there's never been a better built boat in that class of boat than a 36 Pacifica.
Tank. Yeah.
They're built solid. They my boat's built in 1976 and it's still way better than anything that's been built since then as far as that class of boat.
Yeah.
The Pacifica is my model. It was built in Costa Mesa.
Timeless vessel.
And it's got new engines in it. Engines have less than 600 hours on them. And, you know, new generator, new windows, Seakeeper.
Why am I thinking about buying a
game changer, right? Game changer. I mean, and people go, are you out of your mind selling that boat? You put all this money into that boat and fix it up? Yeah, I am out of my mind. But I'm getting older. It's harder to kind of be the deckhand and the captain at one time when you take people out and running up and down the ladder. But for an overnight boat. You want to go to Clemente, you want to go to Catalina, you want to go offshore, you want to fish local. I mean, it's a perfect boat.
And you put bait everywhere.
And everywhere. It's got 170-gallon tank, and it's got a 42-gallon Pacific Edge, so it's got plenty of bait.
That was my favorite addition you made, was there was absolutely no reach. 70-gallon holds plenty of bait for any offshore trip that we're going on, and like there was just enough space like behind the ladder where you're like, oh, let's just shove another giant bait tank behind there.
Perfect.
That was my that was my favorite move you ever made. Like, let's just take a space that like, you know, a jacket's going to end up there. Like, no, we'll put another several scoops of bait in there. I love it. It's perfect.
Yeah. And that boat gets bit.
Yeah.
On patrol, that boat is, if you like to catch marlin, if you catch tuna, anything.
Killer harmonics on it.
Yeah.
Killer harmonics. And you know who talked me into getting that boat? Is Jimmy Kingsmill.
Because
he used to have one. And Jimmy knows a little bit about boats. And he said, I kept on looking at other boats. He goes, stop. Just go buy that Pacifica. He goes, stop looking at other boats.
That's your
boat. And, and I'm glad I did. I bought it in 2016, and it's been a fantastic boat.
That's awesome.
But it's time for somebody new to have it. So, yeah.
And you can see it on Yacht World.
Oh, you can see it on Yacht World. McCarty Yacht Sales. My buddy Chris Roop listed it. And John McCarty, who's just an iconic Southern California guy, is McCarty Yacht Sales. And they're in Newport Beach. But you can see it on Yacht World, see all the details, or call me and I'll fill you in.
There you go.
Hurry up. It's not going to last long.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
No doubt. Well, hey, let's jump back into the phones. They're packed up. If click that there. All right. Let's jump in and talk to Sam. He's calling us from Irvine this morning. What's up, Sam? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Great show. Love the format here. The my question is for the skipper. The he has on his website the his different types of trips, and I see the full-day offshore and the full-day bluefin, and also the three-quarter day and the full-day trips, and there's a price differential. But my real question is the full-day and the offshore and the full-day bluefin, what is the difference in, that those trips would take? Because it seems there'd be bluefin in the mix. Do you fish differently, or what is the difference there?
Yeah, so the full-day offshore trips, just kind of your traditional offshore trip, you're trolling, you might be casting some lures, you're going to be fishing bay kelp patties, you know, open water, sonar school stuff. With the full-day trophy bluefin trips, we're taking all the kite gear, helium, flying fish, all the stuff you need to catch big fish. We will, you know, dip our toes into small stuff to and fro to the grounds, but we're really focused on fishing that kite and the true trophy fish, you know, upwards of 100 to over 300 pounds.
Cool. Very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Hope that helps you out. I got a great text here from Jason in Ocean Beach. He says, good morning, guys. Great show. Question for Dwayne. Do you do swordfish charters? And if so, when's the best time to go?
Yeah, we do offer swordfish charters, something we've been doing probably the last 4 years. We've done pretty well at it.
You have.
We typically run those trips, call it like mid-October all the way into the new year. I'm a big fan of November and December. Obviously, moon phases are definitely better. They're like a big, giant, open water, sword-faced sea bass. They really like current. They really like moon phases, you know, new and full. So I'd definitely say, you know, November, December during moon phases is going to be your best bet.
That's awesome. That's good info. Right. I got a question for Dwayne. There's been a tremendous amount of questions rolling through the text that are all referencing poppers with foaming fish. You know, hey, when I roll in, do I throw my popper here? When I roll in, do I throw my popper there? In 2016, 2017, like that was the thing to fish. Like that's how we caught all the fish. Is the popper still the right lure to be tied on when you're approaching a foamer? Is there bigger and better? Is it just as good? Is it different? Like, what, you know, you put yourself onto your skiff and you're having a fun day with your buds and you're going to throw a lure into a spot of fish. What's tied on?
Usually when we start today, we're going to have a little bit of everything. We're going to have surface irons, stick baits, and poppers tied on. And whatever gets keyed in on and bit the most is what we're usually all going to switch to. Like, for instance, right now it's a surface iron or a swimming lure. Swimming surface lure is getting bit pretty dang good. So definitely that's what we're leaning towards right now. Don't get caught up on just surface iron. If it swims like a stick bait, that'll work too. It's just as long as it swims, it's the same kind of presentation. Personally, I, in this situation right that's going on right now, would prefer to fish a stick bait because you have two sets of hooks rather than one hook like on a surface iron. There's been a lot of shaking heads and pulled hooks and popped out lures from fishing the lure or the surface lure. But you throw a stick bait, you're going to pin them with six hooks a lot of the time rather than one. And you up your chances of landing these fish. And again, it's the same presentation. It's a swimming lure. Back to the questions. You pull up with a variety of stuff tied on. If you've got three guys, have three different lures tied on and go from there. Another one that's working really good this year is a skip jig. So if you're fishing, surface iron, bomb the cast out, put your rod tip at 11 o'clock. As soon as it hits the water, start whining like a banshee. You'll see your lure skip and shimmy across the water, and that's getting blasted right now.
That's the best.
Another cool thing about that is, with surface iron, you could potentially stay farther away. There was guys talking about how close can you get to a school.
Yeah.
Like, you want to use something, whatever you're using, like, you want it to be something that you can make a relatively accurate cast from, too.
Yeah.
On this fish, if it's up, you might cast at a ton of different spots, but a lot of times it seems like the bite comes from where you knew, I knew that thing was going to get bit.
Oh, yeah.
You put your lure in the whitewash when the spot was going as hard as it is, and the more often you can do that, it's like fishing a sardine that goes 100 miles an hour. I knew you were going to get bit on my cast. You put your lure
in the strike zone, you're going to get a good shot at getting licked there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phones.
All right. How about this time we talk to Robert, who's calling us from Canyon Country this morning. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Great show, guys. Just have a quick report and a quick tip. Just got off the Endeavor a couple of days ago. Fabulous captains, fabulous crew, awesome chef. And Tucker isn't scared to go anywhere. We went from Ventura to the Cortez and had a great day on Yellowtail. And my tip is, I've been fishing for years, and one of the deckhands showed me a trick. If you cover the eyes of the squid, they go lethargic. They quit trying to grab you, quit trying to bite you. Can't believe nobody told me this for years, so I thought I would share. Cover their eyes, and they go to sleep.
That's good dope.
Good stuff, man. Hey, glad you had fun there on the Endeavor. And they're out of Channel Islands?
Yes, they are. And
yeah.
We jumped on the boat, and he said, hey, our best shot is the Cortez, a long, long trip, and it paid off. He's awesome. Becker is awesome. Crew is awesome. They have a great chef. It was a great trip, great food, great friends. Couldn't have got any better.
Glad you had fun.
That sounds great.
Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. Well, hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. Your fishdope.com report with the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. And that report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, their pokey kit, and more. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128.
You know what else Fisherman's Processing can do now? Is everything is 5 mil. Everything is a 5 mil
just
bag.
Period. Across
just period.
The board.
There's no 3 mil, 5 mil choice. It's all 5 mil, which is a great choice.
That was the right move.
Yeah, it's a great move.
It's such a better product.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially for me, I'm a chest freezer guy, and and I'm a rummager, how am I going to do? And you start pulling through bags, and you try to find, you always think you're going to find some killer gold bar on the bottom, and you start really rolling things around in your freezer. You just pop seals on 3 mils, and you just don't on 5. I think that was a really good move on their part.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, hey, with that said, let's find out what's going on. It's Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, Dwayne, Diego. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, Dave.
Dwayne, I hope you folks are listening, because when Dwayne talks, you want to make sure you pay attention, because it's a big deal to get him on the show. So good to have you. Good to listen to you, Dwayne, and I'm glad you're doing really good. Gang, this is just one of the most unbelievable seasons that we've ever had on Southern California, and what's going on right now defies all logic. 2 miles off of Dana Point, 2 miles off of Oceanside, giant bluefin tuna in brownish red chocolate-colored water. Doesn't make any sense. You can't figure it out. You wouldn't spend 10 minutes in that water. But for some stupid reason, these fish are in there, and they're in that brown chocolate water, and all of a sudden, you don't see any fish, and then all of a sudden, there's 10 foamers up. And they're biting the surface iron, and it's just craziness. My nephew left Dana Point Harbor at 2:30 in the afternoon on Friday, and at 3 o'clock he was hooked up to a 200-pounder on a mint surface iron. He fought it. He didn't even know. He was just going out there to look. He hadn't been out for camera, and he hadn't been out for a while. He just went out there to look, and he was watching the cars drive down the freeway, and he was hooked up to a 200-pounder. Fought it for 5 hours on 30 pound, and then just at 9 o'clock at night, he put his thumbs on the spool and broke it off. He said that was enough. And it's just
5 hours. Oh,
yeah. He didn't want to do it. He had two buddies on the boat that thought they could. The minute he got bit, he was like, "I'm just going to break it off." They're like, "No, no." They wanted to do it, so they played with it for 5 hours. But it was a never. It wasn't going to happen. Same thing happened to a couple guys yesterday. It's just incredible, the volume of fish on the beach. There's some pictures, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, the Clemente. You can see the San Clemente Pier in the background. You can actually see people standing on the pier, and they're gapping a 130-pound bluefin. It's pretty unbelievable what's going on right now.
So cool.
And then everywhere else, there's just fish everywhere. It's just mind-boggling the amount of volume of fish everywhere. San Clemente Island isn't even getting touched, Pete, and there's a volume of big yellows on the front side of the island that nobody's really even fishing. And when the guys go over there, like Chase went over there on the bottom a couple days ago and had just full speed, 15 to 20 pound yellowtail, no boats, just unbelievable. The Dorado fishing over the border now, you're seeing, I heard you ask Willie, what's the, you're seeing that 10 fish limits coming in on the boats now. There's fish below the border, above the border, all the way out to the Tanner, the Cortez. Catalina's still biting really good. There's even some sea bass biting there. The Channel Islands, there's some sea bass, halibut biting there. But everybody's tuna fishing right now. So I don't know. The best time to go fishing would be right now. If you're waiting right for now. It to get good, if you're waiting for it to get good, I don't know what planet you're on. It's pretty good right now, right, Dwayne?
Yeah, it's pretty steady Eddie.
And, of course, fishdope.com. You read all the reports on Fishdope right now. Lots of guys going out and having a success. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Dave, how do we find you?
One more thing I wanted to say, and then I'll tell you. If you don't have a good pair of binoculars, you're probably not catching anything, because it's all, like Dwayne said a little while ago, it's about those gyro stabilizing binoculars. So make sure you get a hold of Jimmy Kingsmill. He's got it. It's all visual. I mean, you can have all the superstar electronics, but if you can't see, you're going to be fishing for boats all day, and none of us need that. So look me up at yoursaltwaterguide.com so you don't have to fish for boats. And then any social media on the planet Earth, I'm pretty active on it. So it's going to be hard not to see me. Your Saltwater Guide, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Great report. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Bye.
You have a good one there, huh?
Yeah, this is a different one, less of a question, but I thought a good one because it came up a couple weeks ago here on Let's Talk Hookup. This is says, just a PSA, there will be an expired flare collection event in Oceanside next Saturday. That's September 9th from 8 to 12 p.m. on Harbor Drive. The same day, there's also going to be one in L.A. at Cabrillo Way Marina from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I've never been able to find a place to legally dispose of my old flares. Now we have a day that we can do it. That was from Dave in San Diego.
Here's another interesting sideline on along that same notes. Chris Roop, who listed the field research for me through McCarty, came on the boat and said, you know, you can get new fire extinguishers for these two fire extinguishers you have because they have plastic handles. Mm-hmm. So Kitty had a recall. And if it's a marine fire extinguisher,
really?
Or if you have it on a boat, they'll send you one for free. You send the old one back. So if you have fire extinguishers, no matter how old they are, that are kitty, K-I-D-D-E, if they're on your boat and they have plastic handles, check them out. Call them. They'll issue. I did it this week. Yeah. I know for sure. And they'll issue. They'll send you a new one. You just give them all the information off that one. They'll send you a package, and you send the old one back, and you got a brand new fire extinguisher.
That's right.
Really? So, yeah, check out those. See if you have like half of mine had plastic cans because that was pretty common, right?
Yeah.
So check out your fire extinguisher there. I have a great text here too, and it's from Bob in Huntington Beach. And Bob writes, "Good morning, guys. I have a question for Dwayne. Do you ever troll California flyers from the outriggers? When can you fly? When you can't fly the kite for tuna, marlin, dorado, whatever?"
No, we don't have outriggers on our boat, so that's the number one reason. Number two reasons. We can usually get them up and way behind the boat with a kite and a balloon and then the double balloon down the line, which allows us to pull those things around still. So
they're not really made to troll, to fast troll.
No, they're not. Right? They're not. You're not going to get the action you want out of a rigger either.
Yeah.
You want it to be the point of carry to be higher up.
Straight up, right?
Yeah, more or less straight up.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where we'll, I mean, do we just not have the wind for it where guys like on the East Coast, like, they're all flying the blue. There's a lack of helium that guys use back there. And helium, we joked about it earlier, but it is. It's getting crazy.
It's really expensive.
I mean, it's getting crazy. And every year it seems to increase by, like, a laughable amount. Is it going to get to a point where guys are out here are flying kites with no helium, or just the way we fish, is it just a necessary part of it?
I think for right now, it's a pretty necessary part of it. You're going to really have to bite the bullet to do it right and use the helium, which we do need for presentation purposes. You know, fingers crossed somebody comes up with a drone with enough force to withstand a bite and set a hook. We've tried that quite a few times here in the South Pacific and Fiji. Every time that drone almost goes in the water, that would be the next best scenario.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for now, I definitely rely on helium.
Sure. You know, at the price of drones going down and the price of helium going up, it might be like...
Might be able to meet in the middle somewhere.
Disposable drones, right?
Yeah, a waterproof one would be epic.
When we started doing this, it cost us $50 to refill our helium bottle.
Yeah.
Now it costs more than $50 to fill a single balloon. You know what I mean? Like, and that was not that long ago. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like every time it goes so much. And when you go in there to get it filled, it's like, oh, man, we're only doing this because you've been a customer for so long. And is this, it's like, you know, like we're getting the biggest hookup just to purchase gas at a fortune. Like, it's wild.
Feels special.
Yeah.
Feels special. Just to get it, right?
I'm only doing this for you because you've bought so much over the years. But normally, you know, we're telling everybody else no. It's like, what, are you kidding me? Like, it's a fortune right now.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Crazy.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup, including a big block of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. Morning with Dwayne Diego from Pinnacle Sport Fishing. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hey everyone, James Holst here with Norsk Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norsk Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norsk Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service both before and after the sale. It doesn't matter if you're looking to upgrade your current batteries tomorrow or a year from tomorrow. We're here to answer your rigging questions to get everything set up right the first time. Find us online at norsklithium.com. That's NORSKlithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see Norsk Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood and have Nick Wayne walk you through why Norsk Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
The Longfin in Orange, Southern California's premier fishing superstore, is having their annual Customer Appreciation Day, Saturday, September 9th. This is truly a big event with unbelievable sell prices from Daiwa. Check out the amazing Daiwa Saltiga line of reels, including Lumber Drag and Star Drag versions. There's a Daiwa Saltiga reel to fit your type of fishing, from bass to bluefin. And speaking of bass, Daiwa makes the finest reels for both fresh and saltwater bass, including the Daiwa Zillion and Daiwa Alexa. Meet the manufacturer's reps from Daiwa and take advantage of tremendous savings at a Longfin for this one day only of fresh and saltwater tackle. Plus, you can win big as the Longfin shows their appreciation with a huge raffle for hundreds of free giveaways. You will certainly find what you want at unbelievable prices for this one day only sale. It's all happening Saturday, September 9th from 7 to 7 at the Longfin, 2730 East Chapman, just off the 55 Freeway in Orange. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, and Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Let's talk hookup. Having a great time here this morning, Captain Dwayne from Pinnacle Sport Fishing. What a busy show this has been.
Yeah, good. A lot of still time to get through. You want to get through on the phones? 213-432-1090. Open right now. JP, stand by. Take your phone calls. We appreciate JP's help. Hey, you just heard a spot for the Longfin. Their big sale one on this Saturday. This is coming up 1 week from yesterday. Next Saturday, the 9th of September, the Longfin's having their customer appreciation sale, and it's a blowout.
We always say it every year, man. Nobody does it like Tom and Eric. Those guys throw down when it comes to their customer appreciation sale.
And they give away a ton of free stuff, too. They have a great customer appreciation raffle. There's going to be manufacturers, reps there all over the place. You know, Longfin's a very popular spot, a very popular store, so the manufacturers really come out and support Tom and Eric and their efforts there. So be sure to mark your calendar and head over there next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 9th of September, the Longfin Customer Appreciation Sale at the Longfin in Orange there. You don't want to miss that.
I love that shop. Being a tackle junkie that I am, like I make it a point to cruise in there and see Eric and the boys every time. Yeah. Like, I really, really like it. That's a good one.
And they know how to do sales.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, the phones are packed. Like Pete said, we're going to jump right into them and talk to John, who's calling us from Escondido this morning. What's up, John? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And Pete, if you need somebody to ride on your boat to be a deckhand for you, you know, I'd be happy to, step in and help you out, you know.
Yeah, here's the issue, though.
But my question, Dwayne.
Let me explain this to you, John. You know, I take people, I take friends out and stuff like that. You know, it always comes down to the captain. Ask Dwayne. Yeah. Guy's got to. You always got to do all the work, right?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Piece of it.
Dock line gets tight. And it's like, all right, bro.
Yeah,
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Nothing to do here.
You know, and the older I get, the harder that is. I'm just gonna go fishing with Dwayne. Let him do all the work.
Well, the move is just keep that Pacifica and have Dwayne rent it.
Oh, there you go. That would be good.
And then invite your old buddy Rick.
That'd be
we'll
good.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
I'll bring in cold ones. We just have a good time.
That sounds good to me.
What's up, John?
That's too funny. Hey, Dwayne, my question for you is, do you guys do any flatfall fishing? And if we have a jig stick that we really like to use, can we bring our favorite jig stick on the boat?
Yeah, absolutely. We encourage those guys to bring their favorite gear, casting, bait, kite gear, what have you. As far as like the up and down jigging goes, we do it in certain circumstances during the day. We don't operate at night just being because we're a daily operational charter that, you know, usually does daylight hours. We don't focus on too much nighttime fishing, but we've had success during the day doing it. It just all depends on the scenario.
Good question. You know, speaking of jigging and bringing your favorite jig stick, there's been a lot of talk of that, casting lures and surface iron foam. What would you say is an ideal rig to bring? Like, what's Dwayne fishing if you're wanting an ideal cast at a foamer surface type fish?
You know, I'm more of a two-rod guy when it comes to foamers, especially like this year and in certain years past, where, you know, you never know what size you're going to come across. So it's always good to have something like light, you know, call it like a 90J, a Daiwa 40 HA Star Drag, 80-pound braid to, you know, 80-pound top shot. And then I'm an absolute stickler for guys bringing a heavy jig stick. And in my eyes, there's only one rod to use if you're going to cast a lure at that really big fish, and it's a Seeker Alua 93H. And then I pair mine with a Daiwa Saltiga 40 lever drag two-speed, filled with 80 and 100 to 130-pound mono or fluorocarbon top shot short one. I buff out the foregrip on my Aluas. I put a couple extra layers of Diamond X-Tube on it, and that way you're able to put it on the rail. We've got a couple over 200 on that rod.
Ooh.
One of them was really painful, and one of them was not. We've had a lot of fish over 150 on that rod as well. The painful ones always seem to come off of those single-speed reel versus the two-speed. Last year we had a 168 one day on an Alua and a single-speed reel. It took 2.5 hours. The next day we had a 172 on the same rod. With a two-speed reel, it took 15 minutes. So,
wow.
Drag power and low gear comes into play big time when using casting rods at big fish. It's absolutely crucial, I think, to have that rod included in your quiver when you're going to go fishing.
But harder to cast the two-speed, right?
Yeah, to a degree. Just make sure your lure that you're fishing has some weight to it. If it's a little light, it will be harder to cast, but if it's got weight to it, it's cast just fine. It might take a little getting used to, but not too much. You know, again, we've hooked and killed a lot of fish on that setup, so it does.
So you're casting 80-pound Spectra with a 130-pound top shot.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, how long is the top shot?
2 feet. Yeah. You don't want that knot going through your guides. I don't even care what knot you tie, because, you know, again, with the two-speed, you want to have as much castability as possible, because it is a lever drag reel. So having a short top shot and keeping that connection knot out of your guides is a huge key.
And you can cast that 80-pound a long way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have 80-pound on all my casting rods, even my yellowtail rods.
You're not going to break that stuff.
It's real hard.
Yeah.
It's real hard.
You're tough.
Spectra is one of those things that the larger size and larger diameter, it casts, you know, it's kind of like the opposite of mono. It casts better. Like,
yeah.
It's way easier to
cast. It lays flatter on your spool and just doesn't dig. Versus like, say, 50 or 65 pound tends to dig, especially if you don't put it on the spool tightly.
Totally.
So,
yeah, for sure. Hey, a little kudos go out to Captain Jeff from the Hefe. He says, we won the Dana Angling Club Cherry El Nino Marlin Tournament last weekend with two jig fish trolling off the slide at Catalina, 71.1 degree water. Lots of fish in the gyros. So congratulations to those guys.
Yeah,
lots of marlin tournaments going on right now, and lots of marlin around.
We saw
too.
Tons this week fishing.
You did?
So, yeah, lots, like a couple dozen.
That's no awesome. Way,
yeah,
really?
Jumpers, tailors, sleepers,
no
you name
kidding.
It. Yeah.
Wow.
I think spring shootout, the Marlin Club was this weekend.
Yes,
too.
It was.
See,
yeah.
We can find out some of the results from that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. And you're going to fish on the War Heroes on Water tournament.
Yeah.
A couple weeks away, right?
Yeah, it's going to be super
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that'll awesome. Be exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what they go for, right?
Yeah.
Tuna, marlin, all kinds of stuff.
The
right?
cool. I mean, obviously, the fun thing about that one is it's just a fun. It's a fun tournament. I mean, that's what it is. Like, and it's designed for a little bit of everything. But it's not necessarily won by a single giant fish. Like, it's a points per pound category, and like, you could do some real damage catching calico bass and rockfish and things like that, and then sneaking out and catching tuna, or you could focus your efforts on fishing for a really big one. So yeah, it's going to be a fun time, and
yeah,
you know, obviously the money goes to such a rad cause.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
a bunch of really good
yeah.
people.
And you can have a war hero on your boat, and
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We're super pumped. Had a great text come through. This is, good morning, gentlemen. My question's for Dwayne. Since you're on a small boat and bait supply is relatively limited, can you give us some tips on conserving bait during the trip, when you throw, when you don't? Also, do you ever do anything with your old boat? Is it or old bait? Is it worth saving for chunks and chum, etc.? That's all from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, again, like I was talking about earlier, bait conservation becomes a real big role on our boats for our captains and knowing when to hold them and where to fold them. You know, I say we usually have about 10 stops of dippers available to us. That means you can slide on 10 different spots, throw one to two dippers and fast ones for about 5 minutes and see if the fish react or want to bite. After that, we start getting pretty low on bait. So I just kind of, you know, have that scenario plugged into my guys' brains. Typically, does it take 10 stops to get a school going? No, but occasionally it does, and you get into that oh crap moment where you're like, oh god, I'm getting low on bait. I got to make it happen. So yeah, I mean, realistically, you got to know what you have to work with. We have 100-gallon blue water bait tanks on our skiffs or on our boats. We take anywhere from 3.5 to 4 scoops is typically what we do take. And rarely do we get in a situation where we're going to run out of bait before we have a load of fish. It's just if we're going to run out of bait, we don't fish. It's not really biting. But you can get it done with that amount of bait, no problem. Again, you just can't be overzealous with it and dump it all at once.
Another thing before we run out of time is that I think you guys do so exceptionally well, and I think better than most people in a small boat scenario, and a lot of people game for, is your fish care. Could you give us a little rundown on what it is that you guys do and how you take it? Like, you see the fish come off of your boat, and you know, you guys are great on social media, and like, dude, a lot of those fish look, I mean, they still have all the color that they came out with, and I know it's something that you pride yourself on, you and your boys. Like, what's the routine like on Pinnacle?
We load every orifice of every one of those boats with ice every day. Yeah,
the secret is lots of ice.
Lots and lots of ice, you know. Definitely take care of your fish as well. Comes on the boat, bleed it out. If you can, make sure to core it, you know, GNGM. I like to make sure that if a fish hits the deck on one side, that's the only side of that fish that hits the deck the rest of the trip. Just bruising, what have you. I don't want both sides of the fish hitting the deck. That puts bruising on both sides. We just try to be as careful as we can with them as well. You know, we stack them nicely in the kill bag. We layer them with ice. We don't just put them all in a kill bag and dump a bunch of ice on top of them. They have ice in between each fish. You stuff the cores with ice if you have time, and you know that's all.
You feel and gut everything?
Not everything. I have to be honest. Sometimes it gets so hot, and heavy.
Yeah.
You know, we're popping a gill, bleeding them out, letting them bleed out on the deck for like 5 to 8 minutes, and then icing them. If we're on a slow pick, we will be gilling and gutting fish. But again, it's sometimes, especially working with just one crew member, we don't have the time to do it. Have we noticed the quality difference in that? Not really. As long as you're icing the crap out of them and taking good care of them and not flipping them over and letting them bounce off those sides and whatnot, the fish do come out amazing. We've had loads go to the processors that none of them were cored or gill and gutted, and they're like, this is the most amazing quality fish we've seen.
Nice.
You know, I am an advocate of that, but again, one crew member, hot heavy fishing, it's hard to do it all.
Yeah. I've seen you use like slurry in a hard cooler and then transfer fish into a bag, and I thought that was so smart. Like, you get it, you get that thing super cold, super optimum, and then get it stacked into a bag with hard ice on it and keep it there.
Yeah, we use Yeti 250s, and those are good for fish up to like 140 pounds, and you will throw them in there real quick to chill them out and then into the bag. That does work really well. Another product that I've got to put the cat out of the bag on is the killbags.com kill bags. Those things are absolutely insane. A, for holding ice. B, for holding product. They are all welded. There's no seams on them. They have waterproof zippers. Their zippers cost more than it costs to make most kill bags.
Wow.
So they're airtight as well. Those things, we've been making slurries with the big one for our fish. So we'll you know, let them bleed out on deck, do whatever we do with them, then put them in there, and they don't leak, so you're able to actually make a slurry in them.
They don't leak?
They do not leak whatsoever. Wow. We've been using them all year. We have three of them. They're absolutely amazing. I can't recommend them enough. I don't know if they have very much stock left, but they will for next season. They're going to be full steam. So, again, I've used every kill bag known to man. I was on the quest for the perfect kill bag. And this is the damn near closest that I found so far.
That's cool.
That's good dope.
Well, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Steve, who's calling us from Bishop this morning. What's up, Steve? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. I'm almost home to Bishop. I'm just pulled off the freeway. Just got off the Independence yesterday morning. But first, Dwayne, I fished with one of your guys, I think. Is it Austin?
Yeah.
He did a guest shot on the Red Redditor 3
on the 15 day that I fished in January.
Awesome.
Quality guy, really nice guy. But anyway, comment on the independence, other than, of course, the fabulous crew and the food, is the quality of the elephant tuna down on the ridge. I was out on a 7 day in July, and all of my fish were 17 to 18 pounds, no matter how hard you looked at them. This time, we had some quality fish, 10 pounds heavier. Matter of fact, I happened to tie for second in the jackpot with a 27.5-pound yellowfin. So they're getting bigger down there.
Nice quality.
That's great.
Yeah, that's nice quality. And what a
yeah, it's good stuff.
Speaking of the Independence, 1 week from today, Captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser from the Independence right here on Let's Talk Hookup in the World Headquarters. So that's going to be a great show 1 week from today.
Those guys are great.
Yeah, they're good men.
Yeah, Brian ran our
and
trip.
Brian is a phenomenal captain. I fished with him on that trip, and he is an amazing captain.
He is.
So they're in good hands.
I've known him for a long time.
Yeah,
I've known him for a long time. Anyway, we ran down, to the ridge. It's 2 days run down there, no matter how you slice it. And the tuna fishing was just, we anchored up. They were on us in the morning on the hook. And
how fun is that, huh?
By three, four hours, guys were limited out. It was
great.
It's just real good fishing. So, as Dave said, I don't know what you're waiting for.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call.
I highly recommend
that. From Bishop there. Appreciate you listening to us there in the Eastern Sierra for sure. Hey, a text here from Lance in 29 Ponds. He says, good morning, guys. Dwayne, can we bring a cooler with sandwiches and beer?
Yeah, you're allowed to bring sandwiches and beer as long as they're in a can. We prefer to keep the coolers on the dock just because we are small boats.
So unload into your
pool. Yeah, we have a big cooler with plenty of ice to take care of your beverages and perishables, and yeah, we'll go from there.
And they'll be safe on the dock there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so just bring your cooler. Transfer,
yep. Go ahead,
but you can bring beer, you can bring sandwiches,
yeah, absolutely,
anything you want.
Absolutely.
Or, better yet, just get it right there at Dana Landing.
Perfect. That's
Make it easy, yeah.
Get an Alexis help out today.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump back into the phones, talk to Sean. He's calling us from Lomita this morning. What's up, Sean? Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Well, thanks a lot. First of all, I want to compliment, I don't know how Pete guessed that there was going to be albacore this year. Good job, Pete. You are no phenomenal.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and they'll be there next year, too, I promise.
All right. No, on a little more serious note, we lost the entertainer that knew more about us as fishermen who related to the beaches, the ocean, the boats, and fishing. We lost Jimmy Buffett over the weekend to skin cancer. I just want to shout out to all the parrot heads out there and all the land sharks that all the great times that we've had. And in the words of a song by Captain was, there ain't a single blue marlin that ain't heard a Buffett song. And that's the truth. There's nothing that's been played out there more. And just all the great times that we've had. This is a little note. I went to a Buffett show at Irvine Meadows. We were in a Greyhound bus. We brought 50 bags of sand to the parking lot, laid out the sand, opened up our beach chairs, and sat on the beach in the parking lot just to represent the type of music that he played. We had a little fake palm tree there. I just want to give a shout out to the rest in peace and thanks so much.
I remember Irvine Meadow, man. What a great spot, man. And I didn't realize he died from skin cancer. I didn't know that. And that is a warning for all of us to spend lot of time in the sun. Go to your dermatologist.
Dude,
I go every year.
Once a year.
And you got to do it. I mean, because that's a classic. Jimmy's a sun man, right?
Yep.
And he spent a lot of time in the sun, and you don't want that.
It was just a different culture back in the day. I mean, it's just what you did, and you didn't think about it. And now the excuse isn't there. There's so many good products, and there's so many good, you can get, performance shirts and all that kind of stuff. There's just no excuse for it anymore.
Yeah. But, hey, fellow parrot head, thanks for the call and remembering our friend Jimmy for sure. All right. Matt has a question. He says, good morning, guys. Question about Dwayne. How many times did you see bluefin bites start at the high tide hour and the preference time? Is there a particular high tide time that's better than other high tide times?
Not really. The best high tide time is the time that you're out there, I suppose.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've watched the top of the tide spark a bite, though. It's countless.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was talking to Ali Husseini the other day about that, and he's like, dude, you can set your watch to it, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the bite will end at the end of that tide as well, yeah, a lot of the times.
I mean,
especially like areas where, like, you know that fish is at and something has to happen, and even if you're not paying attention to the tide, like, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, things kick off and they start to show better. They start to bite better. They let their guard down, and you look down, like, sure enough, it was,
yep,
you know, it was on the tide.
Yep, so if you're in an area and you know that the fish are there and it's just not bite time yet, will you just hang out?
Yeah, just hang out.
Just
so
hang
the guys
out.
enjoy
yeah,
a beverage, eat your lunch, get some food in your stomach, get some power pellets going, get ready,
get ready, and then but you leave a kite up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Always fish.
Yeah, just fish and just wait, and then all of a sudden
it'll flip.
If the switch happens,
yep,
and here we go, right?
Yep, exactly.
Four rods going off at one time.
I know we're a little short on time, but the one last thing I want to touch on, you mentioned earlier, Hansen talked about it also. How important is the set of binoculars on a boat of your size?
You're blind without them.
Yeah.
You really are. I mean, you might be able to see a couple miles or whatever, but they're absolutely crucial. I take them even when I go rock fishing. Anywhere I go, I bring my gyros. You know, it just elevates your game of being able to see. You know, you want to see a couple miles with your bare eyes, or do you want to see 5 miles with your gyros? You know, it's good to keep them to your eyes until you find fish. Always, that's why you have them. Bring extra batteries. Be ready to wear them all day long, because they will pay the bills for you.
Until you have, you know, until you have $100,000 to put a side scan sonar in, it is the same. And then it's just equal to, but it is the single most important fish finding tool you can make an investment in.
Tenfold, I find more fish with my gyros than I do with my electronics.
Tenfold.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Call Jimmy Kingsmill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, you have, if you go to letstalkhookup.com on our links page, we have a link to Gyro Pros, which Jimmy handles that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, you need to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on a pair of gyros? Yeah, but you can get the Fujinon
Technostabies
for what, $1,400-$1,500?
Yeah, that's all we have on our boats.
They'll do the job.
Yeah, we're
right?
On small boats and things bounce around and break a lot.
Yeah.
Rather,
so that's what you have.
Yeah,
Technostabies.
They're just less expensive to repair or replace if need be.
Yes.
You and know, they work fantastic.
And they work just fine for us.
Yeah, and they're still 14 power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1440.
You guys find a fish or two in your days.
Yeah, a couple.
As you can hear, we got a great show, and we're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new pair of Costas. Former Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans, as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new pair of Costas. Dwayne's going to do us the honors. Today we have a caller winning the big prize. That's Jeff in San Diego. Jeff, congratulations. $300 coming to Costa.com. Dude, you're going to get to pick out whatever you want. I'm still a Spiro XL guy.
Yeah.
They make the best shades, dude. You're going to love it.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah, Dwayne. Thank you so much.
Rad.
So
wow,
much good information. Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Somebody wants to go fishing with you. How do we do it?
Yeah, you can look us up online, www.pinnaclesportfishing.com, or give us a call direct, 619-850-7575, and we'd be happy to get you dialed in out on the water for a good day.
You guys just do it so right.
Yeah.
Such rad boats, captains. I love it.
Thank
such
you.
A rad
operate
operation.
Right out of Dana Landing in Mission Bay.
Correct, yep.
You can, a lot of times in the afternoon or the evening there, you can go watch Dwayne unload giant bluefin all the time. Right,
come down, say hi anytime.
Meet Dwayne and his guys, and your captains' names are.
We got Cameron Bingham, Austin Chavez, Ryan Kyle, and Nico Lianis.
Wow, A team.
Yeah, we're stoked.
For sure, yeah,
thanks, guys.
Great guys, and you have a. 225 Parkers,
yep.
And 128 Parkers.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
And the prices are on the website.
Yep.
Obviously, the 28's a little more expensive than the 25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But just go on the website, pinnaclesportfishing.com, and
yep.
Check it out and go fishing with Dwayne and his guys. Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate
thank you, guys.
That. Good luck on the water. And thank you out there. We sure appreciate JP's help on the phones and the board. And thanks to Adam for all he does on that Let's Talk Hookup app. The app is killing it, and we appreciate all that he does on that. And we appreciate you out there, all the texters, all the callers, and all the listeners from Let's Talk Hookup, and, of course, our sponsors here that keep us alive here on Let's Talk Hookup. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Well, I'll be coming home from Canada from a sturgeon fishing trip in B.C. Rick and Corey next Saturday talking tuna and calicos, just the two of them talking that. And then next Sunday I'll be back in the studio with Captains Mark Parizano and Paul Strack from the Independence, along with Rick. We'll see you next week, right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.